I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to this short series on the prison prayers of Paul. It's the title of a book I published recently. I'd urge you to get a hold of it because in there are four prayers that Paul recorded that he prayed while he was in prison for the churches that he was associated with, that he had planted around Europe and Asia. And as we start the series, there's kind of the assumption that we're all praying people, but for some of us, it's a patchy exercise. We sometimes do it, we sometimes don't. Some of us might have never even begun that kind of lifestyle where we pray each day. Can I urge you with all my heart that you just start to seek the Lord? Just put aside some time where you're going to pray. And honestly, everybody struggles with this area because there's always something else to do, and it can seem like, what is it achieving? What's happening? And we throw up a few prayers on the hoof, if you like, while we're working, while we're in the car. But to actually stop doing everything and to reserve a time, if you've never started this, just try 5 minutes or 10. And as you genuinely look to the Lord and put aside all the distractions, you'll find He will draw near to you. The Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. When you start feeling His presence, you don't have to say a lot of prayers, and prayer is about, begins with communion with God. It's hard to have a relationship with somebody if you don't talk with them. And He will talk to you with knowings in your spirit, just His presence. And you'll know that everything's going to be okay. When you get a word from the Lord, it brings life to your bones. But it doesn't happen without us actually setting aside those times where we're going to seek the Lord. If you manage 10 minutes, try 15. Try half an hour. Spend time seeking the Lord, and you'll find that there are 1,001 benefits that are going to come into your life because of it. And understand this, that it's in prayer that we actually become effective. And we're all ordinary people. Don't be thinking that you have to be somebody extraordinary to get your prayers answered. Way back in James 5:17, it says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. But it starts by saying he was an ordinary guy. He struggled with depression, struggled with anger issues, but his prayers were effective. He believed that God would answer his prayer, and he got that faith in prayer. So you and I can actually spend some time with God and even say these prayers that Paul has prayed. If we're in times of trouble, it can be a really good exercise to read a psalm aloud to God, because there are the words that are going to help you articulate the feelings you have, but you don't find you've got the words or sometimes even the courage to say them to God. And yet here's David or the psalmists pleading with God, complaining, letting out their grief to the Lord, and they're allowing their humanity to be out there before God, becoming more spiritual doesn't mean we become less human. And the whole experience of being a spiritual man or woman of God, and also being a spiritual person who is walking with Christ, living with God, but enjoying our human life as well. We shouldn't feel bad about loving life, enjoying the ocean, enjoying the mountains, just enjoying all that God has provided for us in this huge playground of planet Earth. And so as we come into these studies of the prison prayers of Paul, we're going to start with Ephesians 1 and verse 15. It says there, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Okay, so that's where we start. "Therefore I also." So the "therefore" is telling us that there was a reason that he was praying. Something sent him to his knees. What sends us to our knees? What sends you to your knees? I mean, our physical posture, don't underestimate it. The Bible says, lift up holy hands, bow before the Lord. Sometimes just lying before the Lord can be extremely powerful as a worship. But he started to pray because he heard things about people. He says, "After I heard of your faith." He heard because somebody told him. Somebody told him something good. How bad is it in the world in which we live where gossip is the primary culture of communication? Gossip, complaining, and criticizing. To get people who bring you good news about other people, it's like become rare. But let's be bearers of good news, not of slander and of criticism and of complaining. So when he heard about their faith, he said, "I don't cease to give thanks. I'm just so thankful to hear about that." When you hear good things about other people, celebrate it. And if you do hear something good about another person, tell somebody that would bless them to know about it. So if you hear something good about Joe, who's Dave's son, ring up Dave and say, "Heard about your son, amazing. What he's doing." What a great way to build people up, to remind them of all the good things that are in their life. And so praying for people comes out of hearing good things about them. We shouldn't just reserve prayer for disasters. I mean, most people, "Oh, I heard about the tornado. I heard about the big car crash. I heard about the sickness. We're praying for you." Let's pray for people when we hear good things about them. "I heard this great thing about you. I'm praying that you're going to actually have a greater, deeper impact through whatever you're doing." So it is important that you and I commit ourselves to actually speaking and hearing good news about good people and the things they're doing in this life. So then he says, "I'm making mention of you in my prayers." This little sentence changed my life. I had always prayed for people, but kind of randomly, here and there, and when I thought of them. But now, every day of my life, I pray through a list of all the people I'm responsible for and who I'm committed to, through my family, my friends, and then in C3 Church Global, all the people who are regional directors. I ask God to bless them and to pour his spirit out on them. And I mention them by name to the Lord, rather than just every now and then when I randomly think of somebody. I actually commit myself to make mention of these people by name before the Lord. And I have found that that has revolutionized my heart. It changed me. That's why I wrote the book, because that was one of the things, this Bible study. One day I thought, I'm going to study the prayers of Paul in prison. And as I studied it and I read that and a few other things, which I'll mention in this series, it changed my life. Because as I prayed for each one of them, my love for them grew. My sense of invoking the power of God on them grew. And the sense of it being my job before the Lord to pray for the people who are in my life that I'm responsible for became part of what I'm called to do. And like the high priest in the Old Testament carried the 12 tribes on his breastplate, that's what we have people who are meant to be on our heart that we are presenting before the Lord. Intercession is the way the kingdom of heaven works, that one person beseeches God on behalf of another. Jesus died on our behalf. He interceded for us. And so when we stand before God for others, we will find blessing falling on their life and ours. Remember, what we want others to do for us, we should do for them. So if you'd like people to pray for you, start praying for all the people in your world. And I've found that you get way less critical, not that I've ever been much into criticism at all, but you just don't have those thoughts that you might have once had about the people that you're praying for. Your love for them increases. There are different forms of prayer that you can pray over people. There's the prayer of faith, and that's believing that what I'm praying for is actually going to come to pass. And then there's in that prayer, there's a warfare, because it says we fight the fight of faith. And so doubts will come and you push back and say, no, I'm going to keep believing God and praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then we pray in the Spirit, Romans 8:26. And when you're praying for other people, pray in the Spirit. Let the Spirit catch your tongue and you pray and believe God for them. There's intercession, where we groan, we kind of feel a deep spiritual burden for them. In Romans 8 as well, it says the Spirit himself makes intercession for us, which groanings that can't be uttered. There's travailing prayer. Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. There's warfare prayer. Paul said in one of his prayers, I want you to know how great a conflict I'm having for you. What does he mean? He was in prison. How could he be having a conflict for them? Because he was fighting evil spirits that were trying to discourage them. And so that was incredible that he was saying, I'm going to actually believe God that you are going to be defeating the devil. So then he's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, in this letter to the Ephesians, and remember that God is, he's not just God. Plenty of people believe in God, but believing in Jesus Christ, now that's another story. God has a name, and a lot of people say, oh yeah, I'm sure there's a God of some kind, and kind of compare that God with every other God in the world, but actually, there's only one God, and his name is Jesus Christ. He came into this world and died for us. And so he's saying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give to you. Honestly, we rely on God's grace all the time. We can't earn whatever he's got for us. We can't say, oh, I've worked so hard. I deserve a reward. I deserve the blessing. I deserve salvation. Doesn't work with God. We can't do enough to earn what we need from the Lord. It's his grace that says, I'm just going to give it to you. And it will elevate you in this life. And so Paul, knowing the grace of God, is saying, I'm praying that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, might give you. And then he talks about, he says, I want him to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, when I started doing this Bible study, I thought, Paul, couldn't you be more specific? Like, couldn't you actually get down to their needs that, like, the Roman government in their area would be taking it easier on them, or that their taxes might be lowered, or more kind of actual events in their life and circumstances? Can you pray for that? But actually, Paul, it seemed to me that he was praying these very vague and wide and broadly interpreted prayers. But actually, this is very specific. And as I kept studying, I saw that these are more important than individual circumstances. To have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in our life means whatever situation I find myself in, I'm going to have that spirit of wisdom on me. I'm going to know what to do. And revelation is understanding things that are not revealed to the natural mind, to the natural eyes, ears. So revelation is going to show me things that are hidden. I'm going to have insight. I'm going to see things and perceive things that others can't, whether I'm in the marketplace and business, or whether I'm in church life. I'm going to live by the power of the Holy Spirit giving me wisdom and revelation. And then he says, in the knowledge of him. So it isn't just that we'd have it for life, that we'd get to understand the Lord. We'd get to know God by wisdom and revelation more than anything else. And then he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Okay, so this is a phenomenal moment where over in 2 Kings 6, 17, there's a story of Elisha and his servant. And a foreign king has sent all these soldiers to come and actually kill Elisha because he had that insight. Of this foreign king, the plans to ambush Israel and their king. And he would tell his king, he'd say, hey, they're planning an ambush there. And he only knew that by a word of knowledge, that he was getting insight through the Holy Spirit. But then they come out in the morning, the servant comes out of the house and he looks around and he sees all these soldiers ready to kill both him and his master, Elisha. And he runs back inside and he says, Elisha, we're surrounded. And Elisha comes out and he looks around and he said, oh Lord, open his eyes. Just like Paul was praying for the Ephesians, Elisha prayed for Gehazi. And he said, open his eyes. And Gehazi's eyes were open and he looked around and he could see all these angels, like a vast number of angels, way outnumbering these enemy soldiers. And he suddenly got courage when he really saw what was going on. And that's what Paul is saying. He's praying, I'm praying that your eyes are open, that you can see God is for you, not against you, and that far more angels and the power of God and the forces of heaven are on your side than things that are against you. So he prayed for that, for the Ephesians to have that. And then he said, I want you to know the hope of your calling. Some people talk about the cost of the call, the trials of the call, the tests of the call. Paul here says, I want you to know the hope of your calling. I want you to have a view of the future that is brilliant, that is so bright you need sunglasses. He is saying, I want you to have hope in your heart. Hope is possibly the most powerful emotion you and I can have, both in our heart and in our mind, that we have a positive view of the future. So many people today who are depressed about their future, anxious about their future, to the point of wanting to take their own lives. And many do. It's because of the absence of the spirit of hope. But when you have faith in God, you know your future is going to work out just right. And he is praying that every believer in Ephesus is filled with that same spirit. And then he says, the hope and the riches of his inheritance in the saints. So that is saying that you and I have blessings that he has planned in our pathway into the future. We have an inheritance that we're picking up as we walk through life. And Paul is praying, I pray that you will understand the incredible inheritance that you have in Christ as you move into your future. And then he says, and the exceeding greatness of his power. He's saying, I want you to have insight and revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power. The church is built on revelation. And you and I, when we have the revelation of how powerful God is, not just powerful, but exceedingly powerful, meaning that whatever problem you and I are facing, his power exceeds it. There's not a power in the universe that's greater than the power of God, who made the universe. And so Paul is praying, I'm praying for you that you would see the exceeding greatness of his power. And he says, he worked it in Jesus Christ when he rose him from the dead. That exceeding greatness of power rose from the dead, a body that had been dead 3 days, a spirit that had been absent from the body in hell fighting the devil. And he brought him up out of the grave with a new resurrected body, which is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That is what Paul is praying that the Ephesian saints would understand. We're going to continue this series in the next message. We'll look forward to seeing you then. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you throughout the year around the world at our regional gatherings. Are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.